Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us tonight on Fire to Inspire. You could have been doing anything else because we all live busy lives, but you have decided to join us, and we're so thankful. We take nothing for granted. Tonight's topic is knowing who you are. And so before we jump into the topic, I want to thank all of our sponsors for the month. We have the Jasmine House Foundation, who's having their annual Open Heart Christmas campaign. It was rescheduled due to weather conditions, so it will be this coming Saturday, December 16th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Kingdom Works International Ministries at 1303 Parker Road, Suite G, Conyers, Georgia. And bring an unwrapped toy for a boy or girl. Bring a wrapping paper and tape. And bring your family members and make it a family event and help families in need. For more information, contact 678-964-4511. Again, that is 678-964-4511. That is this coming Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can just pop in, help out a little bit, and then you can go on with your other plans. But come on out and make it a weekend or a day of giving. Help the kids understand that it's not all about just receiving all the time, but about giving. And then we have Million Dollar Mindset presents Girls Night Out, a night of inspiration with a twist of laughter. Tickets can be purchased at Eventbrite for only $20, and the ticket code is Boss Code. Boss Doors. That is this coming Sunday from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And the address is 737 Jonesboro, Georgia, 30238. Again, that's Girls Night Out, sponsored by Million Dollar Mindset. And it is a night of inspiration with a twist of laughter. That's Sunday, December 17th from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. So, girls, go on out and get your tickets. I will see you there. Unique expression by design, making your custom ideas a reality. So if it's something you need for your business or an idea you have for your service, from cups to mugs, pens, pencils, journals, Angelise Washington and Unique Expression by Design can take care of that for you. If you want to make a great impression for one of your potential customers or clients, or you have someone that you say, you know what, this has been a great client all year long, you can get some homemade cookies, cookie tins with your business logo, or you can get their business logo on there as well. So look up Angelise Washington. All of our sponsors are on Facebook. Also, you can check out her website at uniqueexpressionbydesign.com. Next sponsor is Roz Hair and Beauty Bar. She is your one-stop shop to all of your beauty and hair care needs, from relaxers to natural hair, lock maintenance, twists, weaves, lashes, makeup, and so much more. You name it, if it pertains to beauty, Roz has you covered. So schedule your appointment today at 404-599-3712. And so many people ask me, Aaliyah, how in the world, Miss On Fire, is your hair always on fleek when you get ready to go to those shows and your makeup is perfect? That is Roz Hair and Beauty Bar in action. So again, that's Roz Hair and Beauty Bar. And you can call and schedule an appointment at 404-599-3712. Third Heaven Sound, where it's not just music, it's a sound. Music and CDs are available on CD Baby and Reverb Nation. Then you can get your beauty and your jewelry and holiday gifts for your family and friends for only $5 at www.inspiredjewels4uasanumbrella.com. Well, thank you again to all of our sponsors for sponsoring On Fire to Inspire. If you are interested in being a sponsor, the cost is only $25 for the entire month. So if you want to be sowing to this fruitful ground and share your your business or service with the masses, we definitely will get that done for you. If you're interested, email us at onfiretoinspire@gmail.com, and that's everything spelled out, onfiretoinspire@gmail.com. Well, welcome back again. Our topic tonight is knowing who you are. And I tell you guys, I'm excited about the topic. I'm excited about our guest. And so the topic, again, is just knowing who you are. Everybody has been so caught up in who they are and the outside. But let's see what Miss Brandy Moore Cliche has to say. Welcome, welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire. How are you this evening, Brandy?
So excited. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I just can't stop smiling from ear to ear over here.
Well, welcome to On Fire to Inspire this evening. We're
Thank
so excited
you.
About having you here. I
Thank
tell you,
you
it's
so
an,
much.
Look, it's an exciting thing to be birthing what God has placed in you and walking in that thing, and walking it out. Isn't it beautiful?
It is so beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful to be able to share, as you said earlier, with the masses,
yes.
God has really done for you and done in your life. Absolutely.
Yes. Amen. Well, Brandy, I want you to introduce yourself to the On Fire to Inspire audience.
Okay. So I am Brandy Moore Cliche, and I'm so glad before we started you said, how do you pronounce that again? Because it's spelled totally different, K-L-U-T-S-E, and many times people say klutz, and I hear them calling me different places in the waiting room somewhere, and I'm like, oh, please do not say klutz. So it is Cliche, my name. And a little bit about me is I am a certified teacher with the state of Texas. I've been teaching for many years. And actually, I've been teaching sporadically, so off and on, having children. I have four beautiful blessings, mm-hmm. three girls and one boy. And I live here in the New York area, New York City area, originally from St. Louis, Missouri, and from there went on to college and just been around the world through my husband's career in the U.S. military.
Okay. I know that's exciting with the different movement and the different cultures even within the state.
Yes. Especially New York City. Oh, my God. There is so much diversity here, and I really, really enjoy it. And actually, tonight I'm just leaving. Today is the first night of Hanukkah, so we're just mm-hmm. leaving a celebration with a different culture. And we lit the menorah, and it was just really exciting to understand the history behind it. Absolutely.
Wow. So the topic tonight is knowing who you are. What does this topic itself mean to you?
This topic itself means to me really appreciating yourself for who you are and really not comparing yourself. That's really mm-hmm. big, because that really I dealt with that so much, comparing yourself to others, wanting to be someone else or in another woman's shoes or skin, shall I say, and really, really stepping back to be thankful for who you are, every feature about you, right? Not wanting
right.
to replace something, you know, but just being excited for who you are and appreciating the beauty and the gifts that you were given, your personality, you know, who God is, what God has placed in you. So embracing yourself, appreciating who you are, loving it.
Love it. I tell you, that's a beautiful thing when you can love on yourself despite the flaws, because even the person that you see, even the actresses and actors and, you know, the people that are stars, there's something that they always want to change. That's why you see so many of them get that plastic surgery.
Yes, absolutely. And I myself have said, you know what, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that to myself or whatever. And then when I think about it, I say, you're not doing anything, you know, as much as I just keep talking or something. But no, if you want to, I speak about this in the book. Okay, Brandy, if you don't like the size of your cheeks, you know to put the fork down sometimes, put it down sometimes, and, go walking. You know what to do, and you know how to do it, So, yeah, absolutely, just appreciating everything about you. And it was in college, actually, just reading some poetry from Maya Angelou, and I don't have any in front of me, but just knowing you're a phenomenal woman, and being appreciative. I mean, she goes over some features about you, your lips, you're like, okay, my lips are okay, even if they're on the Lord's side, they are okay. So, yeah, just appreciating everything about you. Even, and this is the one I dealt with for many years, and actually my sister's going to kill me. She still tells me this sometimes. Brittany, this head that you have is just so large. Girl, what is all this extra head you got, And I laugh because now I'm able to appreciate it and accept it and love it because I did receive some wonderful, I received some encouragement, and it actually came from my husband years ago. He said when he was little, they talked about his head. And his mom said to him, well, you have that size head because of your intelligence, because of the knowledge that you hold, how smart you are. And you can't have a small head, if you don't know a lot, if you're not knowledgeable. You have to. Your head, your brain has to expand because you hold so much knowledge in there, So I told him, right, I'll accept that one versus my head being compared to maybe an animal or, being called fat head or big head. I love to now say, well, it's because I'm smart. It's because I have a lot of knowledge in here, just to change the perception of maybe a flaw that you have that you thought, oh, I wish I didn't have this. So, yeah.
I know. I love it. Like you said, being able to embrace who you are. Sometimes when you're younger, you have those big heads and you have these little bitty bodies. Now our bodies have caught up to those heads, And so, it's like, I love every bit of me regardless of how
yes.
I am,
Yes.
So as you, move forward and things have, you've birthed some things. You've birthed a book. Could you tell us the title of it?
So the book is titled Beauty Redefined, Conquering Low Self-Esteem. And so I didn't even know that I would write about this. It was birthed because I was teaching or co-teaching a Bible study, and we were studying about Esther. And it was the second or either the first lesson, Beth Moore, wonderful teacher and author, one of the lessons in this Bible study, the first or second lesson was beauty as a treatment. And I thought to myself as I was reflecting in class on it, you can really get treated differently based on your beauty, outer appearance. You get treated differently. And in the book, I speak about that, going to a club and the bouncer is like, okay, oh, she's fine. Oh, this one, oh, you can get in free, but you guys got to pay, So it's like, what does she have that I didn't have, because surely I've been at the beauty shop all day. Surely I have on the nicest outfit, or surely I have my nails done and the makeup, and I thought I had it all together, but now someone is like, no, $10 for you. So reflecting on this in the Bible study, that's when I decided to take this writing class to publish. And once I did, that was what I was learning about at the time, was this great woman of God, Esther. Oh, my God, and I speak about her in the book. This great woman, this heroine, Esther. And that particular lesson really triggered me to really write about beauty and how I was able to shift my view of beauty into what God says beauty is, which saved me a lot of money. It saved my credit, you know. It saved me from sleepless nights and being exhausted, you know, going out to get it first. I got to get this new outfit first or these pair of shoes first. But it saved me once I knew what God said that beauty was. So this is how the book was birthed, as well as a little bit about it, just shifting my view of beauty from not the physical things, but what is definitely inward. You can always change those inward characteristics. You can always change those. The unseen, what people, they see it when you act it out through your character, through your, the way you make choices, the way you deal with people in your relationships, they see that. And to me, that was beautiful versus all, you know, I was stressed out. I was stressed out trying to lay a certain way at night to keep my hair, you know, this way, or, you know, going out, I got to have this, got to have that, or studying different shows on television just to make sure I had it right. So that is a little bit about the book, is just shifting my view of beauty from the outward to the inner man.
Yes. And, you know, society has, you know, has people all messed up with that. So you have to know who you are so you don't get caught up in that,
yes,
in that rat race, so to speak. You know, understanding,
yes,
that you can be the most beautiful thing in the world, but if your inner man is ugly and your personality is hateful, nobody wants to deal with that. I don't care how beautiful you are or how well dressed you are, you know. So, yes. So, can you share with us one major life-changing experience that you've overcome and how that experience has shaped your life as a mother and as a wife today?
Okay, so in the book, I would say the one thing, the one that I have overcome, and I really think is, it still is a driving force in my life, and it kind of resurfaced at Bible study again. And I went to bed that night after this. It was kind of an intense Bible study conversation. And I went to bed that night thinking about some things, about the conversation that happened at Bible study. And I realized that the words from my dad, they are still there in my head. Like, they are subtle, but when, I would say when some words or actions are triggered, then it brings it back up. And after I contemplate for a while, I realize, oh, those are from my dad. And I would say it's, my dad was so upset at me, and I wrote about this in an article that was written on me back in 1996. And he said, your mom is raising nothing but failures, and that you're next in line to fail, right? And so my response to him was, I'm not going to fail. No, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. And I tell you, when I looked at this article like maybe a week or so ago, and even 20 years later, I was right on track with the words I said two decades ago, that is what changed me. It was, you know, really striving to show dad, to make dad, make mom proud, to show them I'm going to overcome. Those words could have easily been the downfall of many children. But for me, it was, you know what, the Energizer battery is on. And I wrote a poem in the book, if I can share it. Is it okay to share it?
Sure, go ahead.
Hello. Okay, so I wrote a poem in the book about when he said that to me, and it's in on page 85, chapter 10, and it's titled Game On. Game On Now, Dad. I don't need no more cookies. I don't need no more behavior plans. I don't need no more dinners because my dad doesn't believe I can. The teacher doesn't have to worry about me smarting off. He or she will not be kicking me out of class anymore. I got an education to receive. I got places to explore. Don't tell me I won't be nothing, and don't say I'm next in line to fail. Please, please watch those words, because now I'm blazing a new path, a new trail. It's not challenging anymore. I don't care what anybody has to say. Move out my way. I must now prove him wrong and walk the stage in May on graduation day. So he said those words to me in 10th grade. And wow. From then on, I was like, you know what? I'm going to show him that I'm going to graduate from high school. I'm going to do it. And in the article, it says that more didn't just change, you know, from one day to the next. You know, something happened in her life that caused her to say, you know what, I need a new path. And really, I want to make my mom and dad proud. I was number 4 in the line of 9 children, so the 4th one, and I'm graduating. I'm the first one to graduate from high school. And he was just, you're not going to be anything, you know. And I had those words spoken over me, you know, by many people. You know, you're going to be nothing. Oh, she's not going to be nothing. She talks too much. And so it was my desire. It was my just everything in me to show him I am going to be somebody. So that is one that, to me, one event that I really was the change, the about face of my life.
Right. You know what? And I love the way that you put that, because you could allow that to be the thing as your excuse. Well, you know what? It was spoken, so I'm just living out what was spoken. You said, no, I'm going to show you better than I can tell you, as the old folks used to say.
Yes.
You said, no, let me show you that I'm better than what you're saying.
Yes.
And so many times people get caught up in allowing what someone speaks over you or says to you to define who you are. But God says, no, who do I say that you are? What have I said about you? And so you walk in the statutes of what I've said about you, and don't get caught up in what they say. Because many times they don't have a clue about who they are. So how can they tell you who you are?
So sometimes people say he used it as maybe reverse psychology. And I said, well, whatever he did, he definitely turned my motivation from extrinsic motivation, meaning I was rewarded for good behavior. It became intrinsic. And so now that motivation is still on fire to this day. Mm-hmm. Like, it is still on fire. And my dad and I, we have a really good, you know, relationship. You know, we talk, and he's been an integral part of my life, and he comes to visit me wherever I am. And we talk about that, you know, and he says, well, daughter, you were going down the wrong way. So I had to, you know, I had to tell you what I was, you know, what I was seeing you do. So I said, well, thank you, because after that I was the model student. I mean, the teachers did not have to worry about giving me cookies, sundaes, taking me out to dinner, you know, if you get C's or good behavior, no referrals. I was ready. I was like, I'm ready now. So
Gotcha. I tell you, I know that there have been so many people that I've run into or I've spoken with that says, you know what, nobody in my family did it. So, you know, it's just like that for us. And I'm like, really? I mean, no, it can be something different. I mean, when you look at families, were you the first of four Now, how about the ones following you? Did they follow your
Yes, actually, what ended up happening was my older sister, she said to me that you were really my inspiration, Brandy, to go back to school. So I began influencing those older than me and those that are younger than me as well. And my older sister, she really said, you know, after seeing you do it, Brandy, I saw that it could be done. Like, I see it could be done. And I'm so proud of her today because now she's a registered nurse. And this is so funny. I had a conversation with someone today who knew my family from years ago, and their comment was, oh, Renee, you know, she didn't play. What is she doing? You know, and I was like, Renee is like the head nurse. You know, she is working and she's doing well. She's not the same anymore. You know, she's not that person. I was able to influence their lives as well as the younger ones as well. They always tell me, I want to make you guys proud when they're doing things, or go, Brandy, keep going, you know. So they do. They look up to me, and, you know, really it's so inspirational that the older ones went back, you know, and said,
right,
you were an inspiration to me, and
right,
I finished, you know.
And, you know, what's also a blessing is it wasn't like you were the oldest, because sometimes the oldest can be the one that kind of triggers everybody else. No, you were like that middle section that was the inspiration. You were that trailblazer for everyone else. And so, you know, it was a blessing that, you know, many times we get caught up in, well, no, and there's no well. There's a purpose and a plan for our lives. And so you would want to shift and shape the very being of the lineage for your family.
Yes.
You know, so that is such a beautiful thing, and my hat goes off to you. And not only did you shift it, you became an educator. So no, your mama wasn't raising no failures. You became an educator, and you're raising, you're helping, you know, educate others. And I think that is so beautiful. So beautiful.
Yes. And now, actually, others with me, there is a problem we have, you know, because if, for example, if I go to a museum, I'm not going to a museum just to look around or just to take some photographs and say, oh, I went to this museum. I told them museums are serious to me. We're going to be here for about 3 hours, and we need pencils, we need notebooks. I need you to draw. I need you to write 5 facts that you have learned about this place. I am serious, and I find myself, I want to go to all the places that, you know, are educational, you know, and I have a problem now sometimes, I say, because some people say, relax, Brandy, just relax, go come, you know, go to the spa. I'm like, I'm trying to relax. I really am trying to relax, because for me, it's like, I got to learn. Where's the next book? I have to learn. What is there new, you know? I need to learn, you know. So, yeah, I am just really engrossed. I am excited about education. I want to educate those around me. I want them to know, especially children, and this may sound even more awkward, I actually enjoy being with children. I just do. I enjoy being with them and taking them places. Sometimes you'll see me with maybe 10 children. They're like, look at that woman over there. You know, well, we're going to go learn something. We are going on a field trip.
This is
like,
off
okay.
the clock. This is off the clock, Brandy.
This is off the clock. This is off the clock. I even have to take some of my students, go pick them up. This student haven't seen a play. Oh, my God, I got to take them. I have to take them to go see a play. They have to know all the components of a play, you know, intermission. They have to learn stage presence. They have to learn, you know, orchestra seats. You know, they have to know everything about a play, you know. So that's just the way I am. I hunger for just, you know, to know. And to read, I really do.
You know, so let's talk about that experience of tying in, being your mother and wife, and you and have children beyond your four. Many times because you're wanting to expose other children to culture. What is that like as far as, you know, wanting to impart this zeal and this zest for more for these children?
It's wanting it to become intrinsic the way it was that it has become for me, not extrinsic, but just it's wanting them to train. There's something about transferring when you really get that aha moment, when you really begin to understand that education is power. You know, you can learn so much, you know, to be able to speak correctly and to articulate, to have a just a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of vocabulary, you know, exposure. That's what I want for, you know, for children. Because as a teacher, I must say this, when I teach the grades, the test-taking grades, and when I see children who don't know certain things or who are struggling as they are going about, because when I was young and I took those standardized tests, I just bubbled in anything and then went to sleep. You know, I went to sleep like, let me get this done. But now, you know, there's a lot of accountability now. Children can be retained if they don't pass the test. You know, they can go to summer school or, you know, have all of these labels placed upon them. So for me, I am wanting them to just learn as much as possible. So when they are reading a reading passage and they come to an unfamiliar word, not only can they use context clues, but they'll say, oh, I remember this word. Ms. Cliche had us look that word up, you know, and write a sentence about it, you know. So I really, for children, I really want them to transfer the motivation to become intrinsic, to hunger for this knowledge, you know, to get it, so that once they come to those standardized tests or any tests, they can pass. You know, even as an educator, I must say, going into the test-taking room to take a test to become a teacher, that is stressful. But I remember going into the room, actually in college, you have to take a test to take your professional classes, even to be accepted into the teaching program. And I can remember a lot of people switching their majors because they could not pass that entry examination. And so for me, I was like, what is going on? Everyone's changing their, oh, no, no, no. And I start going to study sessions. I'm going to do it. I'm going to study sessions. I mean, while people are writing the book, my partying was study sessions. Pencils and papers were my outfits, you know, to wear because I'm going to pass this. And it took me two times to pass, but I remember on that second time when I passed, I was finished before the clock. And there I was just sitting. I was smiling because I knew I passed. I knew the answers on there. I knew I wasn't struggling. And when I was struggling, I used those test-taking strategies, skip it, come back, you know, okay, now get into it, you know. And that's what I really want the children to do. When they come, when my children come home and say, Mommy, we went to Ellis Island and they had it on the test, and oh, I remember everything, you know. So me, that makes me so happy, you know, that they weren't struggling, you know, for the content, for the knowledge. They know it, and that's what I desire for children, is to devour that, you know, learn what people may say is difficult. Learn, go take those classes, human anatomy, biology. You can learn it. We can sing through it. You know, we even have a chart, a periodical tables chart song. You know, you can rap it. You know, you can learn it. You know, so that's how I'm very passionate about that with children, for them to really love to learn.
Amen. Now, you've been given some great advice throughout your life. What's the best advice that you think you've ever received?
I've received so much. Oh, my God. So let me think of the ones that really hit home and they just never leave me. Pertaining to the book, since we are talking about the book, we keep straying away a little bit, but the one I would say advice or counsel or, you know, whatever you may want to call it, I would say I received the scripture, Proverbs 31:30, and it said that she said to me, physical beauty is vain, but the woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. And that scripture was a life-saving scripture for me because I was like, I've never heard this scripture before. I grew up in church. I thought I knew the Bible. Where did this scripture come from? That physical beauty is vain, but the woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. And I remember the lady who gave it to me. She was one of the dancers at Lincoln University on the dance troupe, and I don't know what she saw or what I was saying or how the conversation started, but that was that advice. It really stays with me. It is tattooed on my heart to know that physical beauty is vain. That was one that was freeing to me, life saving for me. Life-saving as far as in my pockets, you know, money-wise. But I could then shift and develop the inward man. Another advice dealing with this book is at a women's retreat at my church back in Texas, Christian House of Prayer. At the women's retreat, the first lady, she said, you know, no woman is perfect. There's no need to compare. Not one woman has it 100%. So while you are trying to look like or wanting to be in that person's skin, that person wants to be somebody else or doesn't like something about themselves. Be thankful and grateful for who you are and what you have been blessed with. You know, think about your strengths. You know, focus on your strengths. And when you see another woman, don't compare. Don't compete against her, but compliment her. Compliment her. Say you're beautiful. I like those shoes you have on. Or, oh, I really like the way you sing. You know, say it. But don't start saying, oh, I wish, you know, I could. Or see yourself competing. If I had the microphone, I would do this or I would do that. But just to really relish in a person's in their strength. And I talk about that in the book too, how I was at a conference and there my friend was. She was Miss Lincoln University, and she was just, oh, my gosh, she was out there. She was bold and courageous, and she had the entire conference laughing and agreeing with her, and there I was sitting in her shadows thinking, how could I feel her shoes? How could I do that? You know, but then others saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. So it's just, that has been, don't compare. Just go ahead and compliment and say, that's beautiful. Oh, I like that. Oh, you know, look at you. You look beautiful today. And not to, you know, say, I wish I was in their skin or compete or compare them. I would say pertaining to the book, those are two that really have stuck with me and have helped me.
All right. Okay. Now, as far as the, you know, knowing your identity and, you know, not getting caught up in, you know, we talked about not getting caught up in the exterior and the materialism and things of that nature, the things that society deems to be important. What would you say to a, because, you know, our teenagers, that's where they are mentally. That's just where they are. What would you say to that teenage girl who really hadn't got caught up in that? And so what would you say to her that, you know, she has her own mindset? What would you say to her to help her stay in that place of, don't get caught up in that? because it's not going to take you anywhere. What would you say?
Right. I think I would show her the financial gain in there, because there's a financial piece that is really connected to it, you know, when you were spending a lot. And I just even heard this the other day. Someone said money looks good coming in versus going out. You know, and really to show, I would definitely show the young ladies, and I really desire to do this, just if they could put on binoculars, not a magnifying glass, where the magnifying glass shows you, or one side of it shows you near, but the binoculars show you far, some years further, how advanced you will be. How people will remember you for your character. Just stay in your zone. You may feel different. You may feel like I'm not enjoying life. And people will try to put that on you. Well, how come you don't go out, or how come you don't do this, or why you don't do that? But to really show her that if you look further ahead, you'll see how advanced you are. You'll see how people remember you when they think of you. You know, oh, she was quiet, and she was, you know, she really was into her studies. I know even right now as I speak, I can think of certain girls in high school who were in their own zone, and they were smart. I tell you, if I would have got with them to take some classes with them, you know, went to study hall, you know, or whatever, like, let's study together. I can study with her, you know. She's really studying, you know. Let's do that, you know. I remember this young lady as I'm even thinking now, as, you know, one, she was quiet, she was focused, and she was just studying. And she was making the grade. She was getting the honor roll. She was graduating with honors. And I actually aspired to get good grades. That was good, to get good grades and to aspire to be, you know, a teacher or to have a career in life, versus, you know, spending all your money on, you know, clothes that you wash them one time and you can't fit them anymore, you know, to show how they depreciate in value. So definitely for that girl who is not, you know, in the mix or in the in crowd, I would definitely show her through, if she can look through binoculars and see herself further down the line, she'll see the advantages.
Great, great. I think that would be some great advice for a teenager, because, you know, many of them are in those zones of materialism. And so if you have that teenager, it's like, you know what, it's not about that for me. It's about me trying to stay focused. And so that would help push them and keep pushing them in the right direction, because there's, you know, some of them being sucked into the foolishness, and it's like, it's really not that serious.
Yeah.
I know, I remember speaking to some teens one time, mentoring, and I was like, you know what? People get caught up in the trends, and they get all of this credit card debt, and then at the end of the day, you don't even wear the clothes anymore, but you're still paying for them. You're not even interested in those things anymore, but you're still paying for them. And we talked about, you know, how you come, it compounded and compounded, and they looked at me like, really? I'm like, really? So, you know, you, when you bring it to life for them, you bring it, you know, make it to where they can really equate,
tangible.
You know, their real life. Yeah, it's tangible. You can make it tangible for them and make it, put it in real life scenarios that they can bite and chew on it. Then they're like, what in the world? So when you get when you get to knowing, you know, who you are and finding your identity in Christ and not in things, finding your identity in Him and not in people, finding your identity in Him and not what people have said or not what life has said or situations or circumstances have put you through, not allowing that to define who you are, because He's called you by His own. He's, you've made in His image, so why allow a person that don't even know who they are to tell you who you are? You know, one, you were talking about that scripture that the lady shared with you. And I love Jeremiah 29:11, because it talks about us, that the Lord has a hope and a future for us. But another one that I love is 1 Peter 2:9. And the English Standard Version says, "But you are a chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people from his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." And to me, that says, I'm royal, I'm chosen. So I don't have to fit into that mold. I don't have to be a puzzle that fits like anybody else, because I was made unique. You know, I'm beautifully and wonderfully made, regardless of how you look at my lips, how you look at my head, how you look at my hips. I am beautifully and wonderfully made, and I'm good with that. And if you're not, then that's on you, because I'm good.
And to really learn that, that's the part, is to learn that. And so just to back up a little bit, how does someone learn that? How does someone learn that, and how does someone learn to even view themselves as not so accepted or beautiful? I speak about in the book, because I had to think and go back as I began this journey and meditate and have some quiet time. And for me, it went back to name calling, all the way back to name calling. Sometimes we say we're just playing, or we are, I'm just playing, that was funny. But really, words hurt. Words hurt people, you know. I grew up learning, and maybe you did too, that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words do not hurt. No, words do hurt. You know, they are piercing. I mean, they get tattooed in your memory. I mean, you can isn't it amazing how you can think of the bad things that are said or done in life versus the good? You really have to sit down and say, let me think of the good things. But the bad just comes up. It just shows up. So how does one not view themselves as the Bible says? And I thought, it's name calling for me was the root of it, being called ugly or being called fat cheeks, or, you know, how people come pinch your cheeks, you know. They think, oh, we're just fun, it's cute, it's, you know. But as a baby, it's okay. But when you start getting older and people come, they're letting me know I'm a little bit different. You know, nobody else has those cheeks, or look at your nose, or the name calling, you know. And so a person has to really come to that, erase, as I talk about in the book, erase those things that were said and replace them with what God has said about you.
Yes.
You know, so that name calling, and even when we hear it on television, I speak about it. You know, we watching TV and we hear the comedians, they are talking. I speak about that. They are, we know you went to go have a good time, but what happens when you become the joke? You know, when you become the joke, you know, it really starts to deal with you, you know. So name calling was really affected me to make me think I wasn't beautifully and wonderfully made, you know.
Right. Yeah, I think that the name callings and the things that are you know, spoken over you, and really some of the things that have been said to you over and over again, that tends to be kind of in the back of your mind, and unintentionally, you will start looking at things, and it makes you kind of more aware of different things. Yeah, you're self-conscious about certain things, and you're like, why am I self-conscious about those things? And when you think back, it started with the name calling, or somebody teasing, or something being said regularly about that.
Yes.
So you said, like, your cheek. You know? And so, so when you think about that.
Your nose. Everything is wrong. What is right about me? You know, everything is wrong, you know? So, absolutely.
But you know what? Again, like we said, I tell the youth all the time when I'm speaking, I'm like, look, there is something that I call an imaginary reject button. And so if that word or what's being said to you does not, when you know it doesn't belong to you, when you know that it does not line up. And I'll tell adults this too, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, what God has spoken over you, or what he says in his word, then you immediately, just like that easy button that they have for Staples, then you have your reject button that you can step on that thing. And you said, that doesn't belong to me. That is not my portion.
Yes, absolutely. You know? Yes. That is so wonderful to encourage them for that, to do that, that when they hear something, no, that's not me, no, and to be able to say that. Because even as adults, we have to say, no, that's not me, and hit that button, absolutely. I totally agree.
Yes. I spoke at a transition home for women a couple of months ago, and that was one of the things we talked about. The topic was bullying, and we talked about workplace bullying. We talked about bullying that their children may have been undergoing because they were in a transition home, and the prerequisite to get in it was being homeless. And so, you know, those children were having to go through certain things that they may not have experienced prior to, you know, that situation. So they may not have had what everybody else had. And so one of the things I, you know, explained to them is, There may be some bullying that your children may be experiencing. So make sure that you're having communication with your children. You have open communication. They can come tell you anything because you want them to know who they are despite what you're currently going through. This is a temporary situation. This ain't your final destination. You know, so we just give God glory for him being able to use us in this hour, regardless of, you know, where we are and what we've been through. And thank God we don't look like what we've been through, you know?
Yes.
Glory to God.
And we can hit the reject button. We can say, as I said to my dad that day, no, that is not me. I'm not going to do it. Being able to verbally stop it right there and say, no, that's not me. Speak back to the enemy and say, no, that's not me. No. Yeah. Speak back quick. No, that's not me. No, I disagree. No, and I'm going to show you. So I love that. I speak about that in the book, bullying. And me being bullied, me being a bully, you know. So when people read it, they're like, I didn't know this about you. Well, when you are spoken harsh to, you know, with ugly words and demeaning words, you have to release that somewhere. And so you release it on other children or, you know, other people, staff, authority figures. You want to say what you got to say. You want to release it, you know. So, absolutely. It's just, being able to say, put a stop to all that and hit that reject button. I like that. No, this is not me.
Exactly. And like we said, our words have power. And so what we have to do is take our power back and say, you know what? That's not my portion. That does not belong to me. The Lord gave me a vision of a T-shirt last year, and he said, stop sitting on it. And so I released it about 2-3 months ago, and it says, joy is my portion. It's on a shirt with white writing, and at the bottom it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because when you understand what's your portion and you speak it, I'm so intentional about my words right now, Brandy, that I will not tease you and say, girl, you make me sick. I do not. I'm very conscious about what I say now. I remember we were saying something, and one of my intercessor sisters said, I don't say ride or die chick. She said, we'll ride or fly chick. I said, I love it. So even in playing, you have to be intentional about your words. You know, be intentional about what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Despite what you're seeing, speak what you want to see versus what you currently see. You know.
Yes.
So. Yes,
confess
ma'am.
It until
ma'am.
You possess it, you know.
Yes.
I definitely believe that say what you want to happen. And even when I'm saying things that I don't want to happen, I can hear a little voice that, watch what you say. Watch what you say. The little voice is there telling me, giving me warning. Watch what you say. Because we don't know. The tongue is so powerful. It really is. And it's amazing, as I said before, how you can remember the 100 bad things that happen. But if you have to really sit down and contemplate or to think or go into deep thought about all the good things. But those words that were spoken that were ugly, you definitely remember. You remember them for some reason. You always do. So being careful, being mindful of our mouth. And how many times does the Bible talk about your words and your mouth? And even there is a book, it's 101 ways to pray for the tongue or something like that, you know, talk about all these different bad things that the tongue could do, you know. So watching our words is, it's definitely important.
Amen, amen. So tell us how we could get your book, where we could find it.
So you can find my book on my website for now at www.bemore, Cluse.com, and there you can read a little bit about me and read a little bit about the book as well as my upcoming book, A to Z in the NYC on Broadway. It's a children family book. So there you can place an order, and I will get that order out to you as soon as possible. And be excited to autograph it for you and for you to share it with your friends over a good session of just, you know, talking or a good Bible study, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brandy, we are so grateful. Did you have any final words for our guests tonight, for our listeners tonight, rather?
Beauty is inward. You can change that, but the outer, don't focus on that. Don't focus. Mm-hmm. Character always trumps physical beauty.
I love that. I love that. Character always trumps physical beauty. Amen.
Yes.
Well, we truly, truly appreciate you tonight for joining us, taking the time out of your busy schedule with your four little ones. And,
yes.
and joining us tonight. We truly, truly appreciate you tonight. And we look forward to hearing you coming back with us with your new stuff that's coming up, because you have new things in the works, and greater is, we're not even going to say it's on the way, it's here. And so we just thank God for you. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to being a sponsor for this month. I do. I look forward to putting my information with you guys and for others to be able to see.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, and we will talk soon, Randy. Okay.
Thank you. Have a good night. And God bless. Yes. Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Guys, if you miss if you miss any of the interview with Brandy, it will be available about 5 minutes after the show ends. So if you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/onfiretoinspire, the show will be available under the topic of knowing who you are. So we talked about knowing who you are and not getting caught up in the exterior, but understanding that your inner man is who you need to perfect, that loving kindness you show, that walk, that attitude, your personality, is all about that and being who God has called you to be, not so much as that physical beauty. Because like she said, I love the last thing she said. She said that your character always trumps the physical beauty, because as you get older, you know, things are going to change. But if your character and your personality and your heart is so loving, you exude the very being that God has called you to be, it is so much more. That can take you so many places. That can take you into places that a person that's beautiful with a nasty attitude would never get into. I tell you, we're so excited about what God is doing in this hour for his people, for those who have an ear to hear. So thank you again to all of our sponsors. If you're in the Atlanta area or in the driving area, make sure you stop by 1303 Parker Road, Suite G, Conyers, Georgia. Kingdom Works with us for the Jasmine House Foundation Open Heart campaign. We're going to be giving out toys with Toys for Tots collaboration. We didn't get as many toys this year as we did last year. So if you bring bring an unwrapped toy with us, please don't bring anything for babies. We got a million toys for babies. But we have like the older kids, like 7 and up. Bring an unwrapped toy. If you could bring some tape, wrapping paper. We're just going to make it a great festive event from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this coming Saturday, again, at 1303 Parker Road, Suite G is in Conyers, Georgia. And I'm telling you, we're going to have holiday music playing. We'll have refreshments and just make it a great, great celebration, because it's not about receiving. It's about giving, giving to families who are in need that wouldn't be able to give to their families otherwise. So we look forward to seeing you. Don't forget about that's on Saturday, the 16th. And then on Sunday, don't forget about the Girls Night Out event in Jonesboro, Georgia. And that event is entitled Girls Night Out, A Night of Inspiration with a Twist of Laughter. That is Sunday from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Tickets are $20. So go out to Eventbrite, get the tickets, ladies. And vendor space, I think, is still available. And the code on Eventbrite will be Bus Doors. So put that in. We'll see you there. I will be at both events this coming. I love to see you guys there. Come support the volunteer event. And ladies, come get you some. To enjoy some laughter and some inspiration. We're going to have some inspirational speakers there. So I look forward to seeing you there. Love you guys. Remember that it's not about what you currently see, but what you want to see. So speak life intentionally each and every day. Speak life over your life. Speak life over your children. And declare the works of the Lord and the glory of God for your life. Love you guys. Talk to you next week. I am Aaliyah Butler, Miss On Fire to Inspire. Remember to tell your friends, your family to join us. Have a blessed one.